This is a podcast from the Business Times.
Bitcoin is having an incredible year so far. Since last October, the cryptocurrency has more than doubled its value. It's now worth more than $1 trillion in market cap and is traded freely on the world's largest stock exchanges. However, some traders are worried. Bitcoin's price is highly volatile and its industry remains largely unregulated. So what does this current rally mean for investors? And where is the market headed next? Welcome to Money Hacks, a podcast series by The Business Times, where we explore useful financial tips to help you on your money managing and wealth growing journey. I'm your host, Lee Kim Siang. We have with us today Kelvin Sy, head of trading at CoinHako, a crypto exchange based in Singapore.
Hi, Kim Siang. Thanks for having me.
Bitcoin prices have historically been very volatile. It reached $60,000 in 2021, then crashed to below $20,000 in 2023. What was behind this crash?
The real crash really started in 2022. Part of the crash was also due to macro factors. During that period of time, Bitcoin was down, say, about 60%. S&P 500 down about 20%. So all these are caused by the Federal Reserve's tightening cycle from almost 0% to like 5%. It's actually the fastest in recorded history since the Federal Reserve started. So this will have an impact to asset prices. So these are the exogenous factors. What are the endogenous factors? So unfortunately, during 2022, there are many, many events that caused crypto prices to drop. The Luna crisis, the 3AC, and the FTX implosions. These affected the confidence of investors and caused them to sell off the tokens.
So, are you saying that there's close correlation between Bitcoin prices and other investment assets and the economy?
In the short term, yes. Because right now, it is all about liquidity. When rates are high, for example, people have to pay their mortgages. They do not have excess cash to invest. So naturally, what happens is that they will sell off maybe the most volatile one or they'll reduce their investments in order to pay for their debts and living expenses. So this happens not just in equities, but also in crypto or in other areas of investments. So in the short term, there is some correlation between Bitcoin and the rest of the asset classes. But if you stretch out in the longer term, based on the data, there's actually been very, very little correlation between Bitcoin and the traditional asset classes. And this is also why Bitcoin is attractive. Because in portfolio management, you want to find uncorrelated assets in your portfolio because that hedges your downside risk.
Since the start of the year, Bitcoin has made a spectacular comeback. It's gone from below $30,000 last October, and now it's back up to nearly $70,000. Why are we seeing this rally?
So I like to classify this in three phases. So the first phase began post FTX, which is about November 2022 to like June 2023. So this first phase is what I call a macro phase, which means that from below 20K to 25K, phase one is due to market pricing out the risk contagion effect of further crypto companies collapsing. So that's phase one. Then phase two come from mid-June, for example, all the way to end of the year. This is what I call the adoption phase. So this is when BlackRock announced they have applied for a Bitcoin spot ETF. This is where market, which is actually forward-looking, started to price in that traditional assets will be flowing into Bitcoin. So that caused Bitcoin price to go from 25K to like 42 to 45K. The last phase is from January until now, where from 45K to like 70K. This is the actual liquidity phase whereby once the ETF gets approved, that's the demand that is coming in from the ETFs that is supporting the Bitcoin prices.
You mentioned the Bitcoin ETFs. This January, the US Securities and Exchange Commission approved spot exchange traded funds for Bitcoin. What's the significance of this move?
It is pretty significant because for many, many years, the US regulators have been very resistant in approving a Bitcoin spot ETF. But with this approval, it actually legitimizes the Bitcoin and the crypto sector itself to be a legitimate asset class. So let me put it in terms of numbers. So the US equity market is about $50 trillion in terms of assets. So imagine these $50 trillion now have access to the Bitcoin ETF. A 1% adoption rate, just 1%. Among these $50 trillion is about $500 billion worth of assets going into the Bitcoin ETF. Right now, the adoption as of today is about $12 billion. So there is still a lot more room to grow in terms of getting more people involved in this Bitcoin space.
So for the retail investor, how does investing in Bitcoin ETFs compare to investing in Bitcoin itself?
Quite similar to like investing your own property versus investing in a REIT. But there are differences. One difference is that who you're facing. So if let's say you own a Bitcoin ETF, your credit risk or your counterparty is actually those people who are issuing the ETF. If you own the Bitcoin itself, your counterparty risk is yourself. Number two is that for Bitcoin ETF, it's just a proxy to Bitcoin. So there are fees that you need to pay. And the third and most important thing is that, like owning your own house versus owning a REIT, you cannot participate in the ecosystem, which is Bitcoin. For example, you cannot lend out Bitcoin for collateral. You cannot participate in the payment system there. You cannot bring that Bitcoin over to another country for payments, for exchange and things like that. So that's the three main differences.
So are you seeing investors in Singapore getting into Bitcoin ETFs?
We are. It has always been, but it has been slower since the FTX and all the events in 2022. But we are seeing a pickup in the volumes. Since last year, actually, the pickup has mainly been in the non-retail space. So the family offices, the private wealth sector is slowly getting their hands into Bitcoin itself. And over the last couple of months, we are seeing more and more of the retail people also coming back in, being more confident that actually with this SEC approval, this is beginning to be more of a legit asset class.
Still to come, could this be another Bitcoin bubble? That's after the break.
In the latest episode of Wealth BT with Genevieve Kwa.
The biggest risk, in fact, is not investment risk. It's the risk that we live longer and we don't have enough money saved up.
What's next when you can no longer shield your CPF special account? The Business Times Wealth BT podcast. New episode out from March 25th. Listen at businesstimes.sg/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to Money Hacks from the Business Times.
Welcome back to Money Hacks. Kelvin, in the Bitcoin world, a big hotly anticipated event is set to be happening very soon. It's called halving. Quite a funny term for people who aren't familiar. Can you give us a preview of what to expect?
So the Bitcoin halving occurs once every 4 years. How does it work? So the Bitcoin total supply is about 21 mil. That is set in hard code. So what happens is that for every 210 blocks, which is actually hard-coded in a system, the supply of Bitcoin, the rewards to the miners who are actually maintaining the network, will be cut into half. Every block started with about 50 Bitcoin. Right now, it's going to be 3.125 Bitcoin. And every block is about 10 minutes. So that works out about every 4 years. The last halving event was in May 2020, and the next is expected to be in April 2024.
What effect will halving have on the price of Bitcoin? Will we see a correction afterwards?
So in this backdrop, what's happened over the past halving is that pre-halving, there's always been a drop in price. So in 2020, there's been about 30% correction in price. And in 2016, there's been an even bigger correction, I think up to 50-60%. But post-halving itself, 1 year post-halving, Bitcoin prices have tend to rally. In 2020, it's rallied about 5 to 6 times. In 2016, it's about 3 times. So is there a reason to it? Actually, to me, I think it is just coinciding with the business cycle. For example, if you remember 2016, during June, where during the halving, Brexit was happening. In 2020, we all know it was COVID. But economics 101, demand and supply. When supply gets half and there's demand, prices do go higher. And this year is even going to be more significant because the ETF demand, with a $50 trillion market coming into the system. So there'll be even more demand and even less supply. So we do expect this may be supportive of prices.
Cryptocurrency isn't considered legal tender in Singapore, meaning you can't use it as a currency day to day, but you can trade in it. In November 2023, the Monetary Authority of Singapore introduced new regulations on cryptocurrency companies to protect consumers. How have the new rules impacted CoinHako and your customers, if any?
CoinHako has always been compliant first. We try to stay on site with the regulators, which is MAS, since we are fully licensed. Regulation is important for the growth of the industry. And they are right, because look at what happens in 2022 with all the events. In my opinion, regulation is important, but too much regulation also might be restrictive. And it could be detrimental to the retail customers that MAS is trying to protect. For example, in CoinHako, there's restrictions of us not being able to reward our loyal customers. referral fees or some incentives and things like that. So this actually potentially drives the customers to the unregulated platforms. And this can be even be more dangerous for them. So it is essential to have regulations, but it's also essential to have the right level of regulations so that it encourages the people to go into unregulated routes.
With Bitcoin's volatility, it is highly risky. We saw the collapse of many companies in the past 2 years, including the ones that you mentioned before, such as FTX, Three Arrows Capital Hedge Fund. Many individual investors lost their life savings when they went bankrupt. What are the pros and cons of investing in Bitcoin compared to other forms of investment?
So it's important to note that FTX and 3AC is not a crypto or a Bitcoin issue. It is a risk management issue. So both companies can be trading in pork bellies and they can still collapse. They are over-leveraging and they're using customer funds and everything to be doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Throughout this entire period, even though prices were dropping, the blockchain was running smoothly. So what is the pros and cons of trading? Because let's share the cons first. The cons is because it's volatile. So like any volatile asset, sizing is important and anybody wants to participate should only invest with the money they can afford to. And the easiest way to do it is have a longer-term approach, no leverage. Because right now it's an 80 vol volatility asset. The compounded returns over the last 10 years is about 60%. It is good enough. There is no need to do any leverage in order to enjoy the returns. And what are the pros? As we go more and more into the digital age, there's a need to have very, very sound digital money. So in the analog world, what is the asset class that is the base layer of money? Gold. But gold does not work in the digital world, right? Because the speed of transactions in the digital space is instantaneous. So we need something that's secure, that guarantees digital scarcity, and something that is relatively safer for the digital age. And I believe Bitcoin will be the base layer of this digital world. And so having to invest in Bitcoin now is like buying an option call for the future. If you think that there is a 5% chance that the world will go digital, and there's a 5% chance that Bitcoin will be the base layer money of the digital world, then maybe put a few percent. Zero is the wrong answer. Another pro is that since 2008, the problem that the world has faced is the debasement of the fiat currencies, which means that your purchasing power is actually going down. Let me give you an example. If you buy a house 10 years ago, right now the house is worth more. But the house did not grow bigger. The house did not become more beautiful. But why did the price go higher? It's because the purchasing power of a single dollar has actually gone down. So in order for us to protect against the debasement of the fiat currencies, we need to hold a portion of our portfolio in hard assets. So remember, in the analog world, people like to hold gold. But as we move on to the digital world, Bitcoin will be or could be the one to hold.
So are you saying it's also a hedge against inflation?
I do not personally think so. The narrative out there is that because it's digital gold, so gold for many, many years is supposed to be an inflation hedge. To me, Bitcoin is not really digital gold. Bitcoin is digital property. So it is more than just gold. Why is it important? Because in the digital space, anything can be replicated. Blockchain actually gives the world the guarantee of digital scarcity. So for example, if I own something digital like an NFT or whatever, how do I verify that this is actually mine? Blockchain does that. So it solves the double spend problem.
Earlier, you also mentioned investing in Bitcoin. Is now a good time to invest in Bitcoin, or are we looking at another bubble that could pop at any moment?
Based on our data, in the short term, there was some froth. That's why we saw a 20% correction over the past week or so. There were some people who are actually chasing the market into all-time highs. In an 80 vol asset class, using leverage and chasing is very, very dangerous. So short-term-wise, there might be some froth, but in the medium and long term, it still remains a very, very viable asset. Let me share why it's so. For the crypto right now, in my opinion, crypto is now in phase number two. What's phase number one? Phase number one is the building of the blockchains. Bitcoin blockchain has been built. ETH blockchain has been built. The major blockchains are being built right now. And right now, it is providing accessibility to the masses. So the ETF or people like CoinHako, we are providing access, easy and safer accessibility to the masses. But the real value gets unlocked on the third phase, right? And the third phase is the killer app phase. It's the Amazons, the Facebooks, the Googles, the killer app, the real mass adoption phase. We are not there yet. So if you broaden your investment horizon, we are still early in the game, in my opinion.
You mentioned earlier 80 vol asset class. Could you explain a bit about this?
So essentially what it means is that it can move very, very high and move very, very low, very, very, very simply, right? This is a measure of how volatile prices move intraday over a period of time. So for example, in FX space, the volatility of the asset class could be 5 to 10. For equity space, it is between 10 to 20%. And Bitcoin is at 80.
Mm.
But this can be a good and bad thing, right? So in order for Bitcoin to have massive gains, the volatility must be high, which means that it also can be
massive losses.
Yes. As long as you size it properly, do not use leverage, and you want to hold Bitcoin into the third phase, like I mentioned earlier.
Kelvin, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, should you throw your cash into the Bitcoin pot? Well, it depends. Bitcoin prices may be skyrocketing, but amid all the hype, it's crucial to tread carefully. Do your homework, understand the tech behind it, and think long term. And definitely don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversification is key. This has been Money Hacks from the Business Times. I'm Lee Kim Siang. Till next time.
This is a podcast by the Business Times. Find more BT podcasts at businesstimes.com.sg/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is meant to provide general information only. SPH Media accepts no liability for loss arising from any reliance on the podcast or use of third parties' products and services. Please consult professional advisors for independent advice.